He's the great God Jehovah. Let's take our Bibles, if you have one. Make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelations chapter 19, starting with verse 11. It's good to have Miss Molly here. I know it's been a while since she's been battling sickness. Molly, it's good to be back. Look what God can do. Amy, it's good to have Amy here. Amy is one of my co-workers. So it's good to have her here. Amen. God bless you. And good to have everybody else. Okay. Amen, amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read some scriptures to you about your God, about your Savior, about your Lord, and about your God again. We do want to welcome everyone here that is watching my Facebook, YouTube. We pray the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life, and we do want to welcome you. If you don't have a church, find one. Be in church on Sundays. Amen. Revelation chapter 19. Page 2213. Look at verse 11. It says, and I saw heaven opened. Amen, people. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. If you would, go back to verse 11. Revelations 19:11 says, and I saw heaven opened. That's talking about John. Remember, John is the author of the book of Revelation. Remember, John was the one that, you know, he was put into prison. And because they sentenced him to go on an isle called Patmos. It was a little island there in the waters. And they put him there. And you know what? I'm sure John thought, man, disaster has come my way. You know? We don't realize when we put our lives in the hands of God that anything that comes our way, our God is in charge of our lives. Good or bad. The good he brings, the bad he allows. There's nothing evil in our God. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so here we see he's sentenced to the Isle of Patmos. And he has to go there. And he didn't realize that it was in the plan of God so that we would have the book of Revelation given unto us this day. That we can go and read the words that John penned down by the anointing or the unction of the Spirit of God. And how he pinned it down by the power of the presence of God. And now we today can open it up, or we can go on our phones, or we can go on our computers and all that stuff and get the Word of God quickly and read it like we want in this country so far. Thank you, Lord. That it can be preached about. But here, John was thrown into that island. And can you imagine? He thought in his heart probably, what is going to happen? Can you imagine being on an island by yourself? Sometimes we feel like we're by ourselves at times, huh? But always remember this. God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise that God has given to his people. That he will always be with us. No matter where we go, no matter what happens in our hearts, no matter what happens in our lives, that we can count on our God to take care of us no matter what. It may seem hard, it may seem impossible, but we have a God that is a God of the impossibility. That He can make things happen according to His plan. Men, look, we serve a God that made all things upon the earth, from the sun, the moon, the stars, everything, the trees, the grass, everything. He made it. There's nothing too hard that God cannot solve if we put it in the hands of God and let Him take care of it. John, can you imagine as they were taking him? You know, they didn't have planes at that time, so they had him on a boat. Probably a lot of ways, and they got to that island. And can you imagine what was going through his mind? He's thinking, what's going to happen to me? And I know a lot of us have been in those places where we're thinking, Lord, what's going to happen to me? Or even at the place of, Lord, does anybody care about me? I'm talking about even Christians in churches today that have no hope, that have no one to care about them, have no one to call them or just to say, hey, you know, I love you, or, you know, hey, if you need something, let me know. If I can help, I'll do, you know. But I wonder what was going through his mind. Yet he was a great man of God, John, but yet he was a human being with thoughts and what would happen. And he got on that island and they left him there. That was his sentence. And let me tell you this, the enemy out there, oh, Slewfoot, it says that John 10:10, that the enemy comes to what? Steal, what? Kill and destroy. But the second part of that says, but God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Right. So here we see, we have two of them. We have the great God Jehovah, the God that is king, the God that made even Lucifer himself. He wasn't that way at first. He was a great angel. But he wanted to be higher than God, so God had to throw him down and do something else. God says, I've come to give you life and to have it more abundantly. That's the kind of God we serve. But yet we have the enemy that says, I'm coming to give death, destruction, anger, bitterness, strife, heartache, pain, suffering. That's what he does. But you see, how you think John felt as he got on that island and he said, oh my God, what am I going to do? They might have given him a little bit of food, a little bit of water, and that's about it. And he's there. No shelter, nothing. But let me tell you this. Nothing plus God equals everything. Nothing plus God equals everything. It may look like there's no hope, but God gives hope where there is no hope. God gives us a way out when he says it's time. And he got on that island, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came upon that place. And let me tell you this. Sometimes God will let us get alone because that's the only place that we can hear God. Without the hustle and bustle of work and family and friends and television, radio, somebody said, phone. I wasn't going to say phone till somebody raised it up. But it's true. And sometimes God will let us get alone so that he can speak to us, people. Look, God is a covenant God that has made a covenant with humanity and with you and I. A covenant. A mixture of that blood. You know, in years time passed, men would make covenant, especially like in the Indian tribes. And what they would do is, the main thing that they would do is, the chief of one tribe and the chief of the other tribe would cut their wrist, and they would take the blood and they would mingle it. And what that meant was this. Everything this chief owned, from everything, money, possessions, everything, to what this chief owned, money, possessions, everything, it all belonged to one another. What this chief had now belonged to him, and what he had now belonged to him. They had access to it all. God has made a covenant with the church of the living God. Your covenant is with the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that covenant was made with humanity. And God is saying, people, whatever you need, whatever you desire, whatever you want, it is yours this day. Just believe my word and my promises that I have given. The scripture, verse 11, says that he is what? Faithful. What is he? Faithful. And what? True to his word. True to his promises. Anything you get in this word that you read, he's faithful to give to his people, as we have faith to believe his word and stand upon it. Faithful is he. Faithful to his church. Faithful to his people. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. 22 and 23. Can you bring that scripture up, please? It says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of our God, people. Great is his faithfulness towards us. Great is his faithfulness towards us. There's no other God like your God. No other one like him. There's no other one that will change circumstances on our behalf. There is no other God that loves us so much that he would send his son to die a horrific death, people. Not just a... And it says that he laid down his life. He could have got up at any time and destroyed humanity. But Jesus said, I have to do what my Father wants me to do so that he can come back in relationship, both of us, humanity and God, back together. And so he paid the price for us, died on the cross. Blood flowed down his forehead. Blood flowed down his hands. Blood flowed down his feet and his side and his back. My God. You want to know what love is? Look at the cross. My God, that's love. For a people, some, not all, that all they wanted to do, and some did, was spit on him and curse him and pull on his beard and pull his hair and do whatever they could to destroy his body. But every time you look at the cross, see the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. That's God, people. That's God and what he can do in us and through us. The faithfulness. He is what? Faithful and true. God is what? Faithful and true. Every time you go through something, God is what? Faithful and true. Anytime something attacks our bodies, God is what? Faithful and true. Every time we might lack a little something with finances or whatever, God is what? Faithful and true. Every time we need God to intervene in a certain area and it's hard for us to go through, God is still what? Faithful and true. Even during death of loved ones, God is still what? Faithful and true. You see, God is wanting us to see that. When he comes back, it says that he's riding, that's the second coming, that white horse. But out of Sasha, that says he is faithful and true. 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 My God, we need to walk around as children of the living God saying, hey, my God, my God, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Because he is faithful. He is true to his word no matter what. Praise God Almighty. That's why we can shout about our God, because we know, just as you've had friends. Boy, I almost wanted to cry right there when you hear somebody die like that. Can you imagine dying of an overdose or whatever and not knowing God? Oh. And I know people get to that place because there's no hope. But I want every one of you to know there's hope. There's hope in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's hope in your God. There's hope in what he can do and what he can make happen. I know things may have gone bad in your life. Hey, everybody has had some things happen that's not good, huh? We kind of wish every once in a while we could start all over. But you know, with God, he does start all over. Yeah. When you get saved, you get born, you invite Jesus into your heart and life, it's born again. Whoo, hallelujah. John chapter 3, Nicodemus being born again. Born again by the Spirit of God. He makes all things new according to his word. Hallelujah. As we trust in him, the power of Almighty God. In John, it talks about Thomas. How faithful God is. Remember Thomas? The only thing we kind of remember about Thomas is he's doubted. And now, can you imagine? We still call him Doubting Thomas. Lord, we'll walk into the pearly gates and we'll see Thomas and say, yeah, we know about you. you Mr. Doubt there. But you know what? We can point Mr. Doubt, but how many times have we doubted our God? Oh, how many times have we doubted him in his faithfulness towards us? It says that Jesus appeared after he rose again from the dead. It says for 40 days. Before he went up into the ascension, for 40 days he roamed the earth, Jesus, by the Spirit of God. 40 days. And during that 40 days, he had to visit with some people because the church depended upon him. I mean, we need to still depend upon him. That's some of our problems. We get away from him, my Lord, and we think we can do it. No, 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 no. We need the Spirit of God. We need God. We need God in our churches. We need God in our schools. We need God in our homes. We need God in our country. That's why things are like they are. They booted him out. But I want to say, Lord, come back in. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. And here for those 40 days, one time it says that the 10 disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And you know, Judas sure wasn't there. He had already been... Some things happened to him. Well, I can't get there. But there was only 10, and they were in there. They were fearful of what's going to happen because they knew Jesus had risen from the grave. But, you know, you just didn't know. And they were in that room, probably praying, probably trying to seek the Lord. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in. How many times have you and I been praying, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes in? And what he's saying is, Joe, I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful. I'm faithful to you. And all of a sudden he walks into that room, and they just they didn't know at a moment. They thought it was something else. And all of a sudden, after he started talking to them and preparing things for them, they noticed, oh, this is our Lord. And he started to teach them things and to help them. And he told them, fear not. Fear not. Don't fear about what's going on today. Fear not. Fear will keep you in your home and you won't get out. Fear will destroy your dependence upon God. Fear will do something on the inside of you that will destroy you. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. I'm not saying don't go out at 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, somewhere. You know, have some common sense, you know. You know, I wouldn't walk the streets again on at 12 or 1 o'clock. May drive something, but not walk. But you know what I'm saying? Don't let fear grip your heart. Live your life. Live your life. You know you're in the hands of God. God can do whatever he needs to do. God can protect his people. God can protect the church. God can protect your home. That's the kind of God we serve. He's faithful to do those things. That he will not allow harm come unless he allows it like he did John to get his purpose done. Remember, we're in the hands of God. Whatever he decides and wants to do, he does it. He is the commander in chief, not man. He is the Spirit of God, not us. We rely upon him, and he leads and guides the church into the promised land and what he wants to do. But because Thomas wasn't there, when he came in with the other 10, they said, man, Jesus was here. And he said, oh. And I could just see it. I won't believe till I put my finger in his. Well, it was probably here, because there's no way this could support the weight. His finger and my fist in his side. That's just like what some of us would probably say. Yeah. That's the truth, huh? That we just, I won't believe till. And they said, okay. And then all of a sudden, not many days after that, how faithful God is to his word. And he came back and all 11 were there. They hadn't picked Matthias, I think it was, number 12. And he comes in to doubting Thomas. And he says, hey, Thomas, come on, put your finger. Now, it doesn't actually say he did it, though. But God took him at his word. So you need to be careful. We need to be careful sometimes. God will say, okay, Joe, you said it. Let's go. Come on. He loves us so much, and he wants to build us up so much. You see, we're not a product of the world. We're a product of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. And so here, can you imagine God lives in us? He doesn't really, you know, I know we say come into the house of the Lord. This is where we gather. But we are the house of the Lord now. In the Old Testament, it was a building, Solomon's temple, where God had them built, because that's where God had to be. That's where he couldn't go and be like he is today till after the cross of Calvary, after everything was paid for. Yeah. And now he lives in us. And can you, we walk around, we're temples of our God. Mm. That's why we got to be careful sometimes. And hey, look, I know we make mistakes and things happen. And hey, the enemy's out there trying to destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is faithful, and he has won the victory. And let me tell you, everything was won at Calvary's cross. Drug addiction was won at Calvary's cross. And I know that's a thing that binds the hearts of men and women. You see that all over. It's all over, y'all. It's all over our country. Everywhere. And I said, Lord, but you can step in. Oh, yeah. We can tell them, and we can pray with them, and we can show them that it's you, Lord. That it's you. That it's you, Father, that can help them through it. All that other stuff, I'm telling you, won't help much. Maybe a little bit. But I tell you what, only God can take the desire out and give us a desire to live for him. God is faithful. And he was faithful to Thomas, saying, come on, put your fingers and put your fists in my side. Like I said, it doesn't say that he did it.
I think he did.
Well, you never know. It doesn't say. So I can't say that. You know, I can tell you what I think. You know, we have to follow what the scripture says. That's why we get in trouble sometimes. We want to say what we think. No. Don't do that. What does the Bible say? What does he say? And so God was faithful to Thomas. Because you see, Thomas was doubting. And I know sometimes we doubt maybe what God can do. There isn't anything too hard that God cannot break in your heart and life if there's an addiction of any kind. Sin is an addiction, no matter what it is. God can break that in our hearts and in our lives because He's faithful. Our God is what? Faithful and true. Faithful and true to His word. What He has promised you, He will do no matter what. It says that one day in Thessalonians that our God is coming for us. It says one day He's going to split those eastern skies. Y'all. You know, every once in a while, you know, it's getting lighter and you see this eastern sky. It's beautiful. I mean, it's like, oh my God. And you're thinking it could be today. You know, you never know, you know. You never know. It could be today. You might say, I know we've been hearing about it for so long. But they heard about it for thousands and thousands and thousands of years that Jesus would be born. And when He was born, most of the Jewish people did not believe that He was the Savior. You see, God is a man of His word. What He speaks to you, He will do. Amen. What He tells you, He will do. And one day Jesus is coming back for His church and His people because He's faithful and true no matter what. He's faithful and true. One day that trumpet will sound. It will blow. And it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remaining will come up together and meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with our God. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with our God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's faithful and true to keep His word. The power of Almighty God. No matter what. I want you to go away today. All week just saying He's faithful and true. When something not good happens, you just say, you keep your mind, He's faithful and true. When something good happens, you say, hallelujah, He's faithful and true to His word. Hallelujah to our God. Amen. Our God is what? Amen. Revelations 19:11. That's what they say about our God. That's what the scripture says. No matter what, people. Hallelujah. He's faithful and true. Praise be unto our God. Amen. Amen. You may stand.